this day, actually, in a few moments at the conclusion of this the message today, we're going to get to practice a little bit about what we've been learning all month long in our treasure series by participating in a unique love offering to benefit the Mountain Movers and the church. And so this is kind of what we do. We come together to meet needs. But before we get involved in that today, I want to begin by reminding us of some of our prayer targets that we've been praying this month. Just a few of these. We've been praying for families to get miraculous financial breakthroughs. Praise God. Been praying for supernatural speed and advancement on jobs. Been praying for checks in the mail and any other type of unexpected blessings to flow to your family. Can y'all receive that one? Come on. Actually, that's happened a few times this month, and people have let me know about that, so praise God. Praying strongholds of financial control to be broken off of lives so that God's principles of blessings can finally take root in their life. Thank God. Exponential increase in business success for those who are in business, increase in your employees, and increase of salary for people on your payroll and for those who are just on a payroll. How many could just use a salary increase? Come on. God is the God of increase. Praying for children to have the highest GPA in the grade. Come on. Amen. Praying for unusual favor with colleagues, friends, co-workers, and profitable connections. Thank God. And for the church this month, we've been praying for more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. Just a few of these. I told myself I'm going to mention these every time. I've been praying every day all month long for all of these. And so thank you guys who've been joining me here. More than enough to carry out any and all vision items that are planted in us by the Lord. Thank God. Praying for more than enough to be able to say yes to ideas, efforts, evangelistic endeavors, and ministry investments in our community. Amen. Come on, everybody say yes. Thank God. Y'all want to be part of something really special today? Thank God. We can do that together. More than enough to buy anything that's needed for the house of God at any time. Wouldn't that be a blessing? More than enough to pay personnel to accomplish the great works together that God has called us to do. And finally, my favorite one, more than enough to be the local church in our county who is able to help other churches when they need help. Thank God. If you can agree with me on all of those more than enough prayers, come on, clap and give God our best praise we can right now. God bless you. Going to hear a little bit more about that in just a little bit after the teaching today. But Jesus said it like this. In Matthew chapter 6, in our treasure series, and today's the fourth and final message in this series. Jesus said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." In verse 21, he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thank God, thank God. So what we've been emphasizing all month long is that great truth from the Lord, is that giving is a matter of your heart. Giving is a matter of the heart. And so we've been asking this and answering this question, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? And really, there's only one answer. That's to master the spiritual discipline of giving, and that's stewardship. Master the spiritual discipline of giving, and we call that in Bible theology terms, stewardship of God. And so thank God, we're going to master that together. And in order to help us celebrate that this morning, I've asked Thomas and Logan to come and share a little testimony with us about a unique thing that God did through their stewardship. So you guys clap and make them feel welcome as they come. Thomas and Logan this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. If you do not know, this is my husband, Thomas. We got married in December 2020, and then shortly after, in January 2021, I started nursing school, and so we hadn't even been married a month, and I didn't have a job. So we were working, we were living on one income, but we knew this is what we were going to do. Anyway, so we ended up having to get a loan for me to go to school, because it was a lot of money. And in the fall, I was at clinical at the hospital, and I got an email from the school saying that I had been dropped from all my classes because finances, like, my classes didn't get paid for. And I was like, what? And so I called Thomas. Actually, I called the school first. They were like, oh, yeah, you didn't pay your fall tuition. And I was like, okay, well, something's wrong there. So I called Thomas, and We ended up figuring out that the loan that we applied for was only for the spring and the summer semester, not the fall semester. You know what I'm
saying? Yep, so that was a shock. And money was already tight. Like you said, we're on one income. Either way, we had a lot of expenses. But we discussed it, and of course, you had to stay in school. So we decided we were going to pay out of pocket. We were just going to be diligent about where our money went. So we decided to pay out of pocket. I think it was that following Sunday, we were in church, and Pastor Kevin was talking about Backpack Buddies that go to support the
Locksley
Elementary kids, provide them with meals. And during the service, the Lord really laid on my heart that he wanted me to give to that.
It was $9 a week times 36 to sponsor one kid. So 9 times 36.
$324.
So it's $324 to sponsor one kid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, and, but anyways, yeah, the Lord laid on my heart. It was very clear. And so on the way home from church that day, I told Logan about it and explained to her that we were going to do this.
And I said, okay, how many? And he said, 4. I said, oh.
And yeah, so, and it was, you know, it was a shock to me too, but I knew it was something that we were meant to do. So, got home, we prayed about it, and a couple of days later, we sent the money in, and we really felt at peace about it amongst all the financial burdens we had. So a couple of days after that, I was at work, and my boss calls me, and which he hardly ever does, but he said, we appreciate all the hard work you're doing for us. We want to give you a raise and a bonus. And at the beginning of the year, we're going to give you another bonus. And that just blew me away. Was not expecting that at all. And the money that came from that was more than enough to cover Logan's school.
My fall tuition.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like I said, it was a tough time for us, but we were just being faithful and just trying to follow the Lord through that, and what he returned to us is just, it was amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much, Logan and Thomas. Guys, what God did for you is a perfect example of what his word says that he will do. So thank you guys. Come on, let's let them know one more time how much we appreciate them for sharing their story this morning. Thank God, thank God. I want to kind of follow up with what they said by getting to what Jesus said this morning. And really, there's only 4 more points to make in this series. This month, we have really covered the whole spectrum on stewardship principles from the Word of God. And so now it's going to be time to practice that and put this into our life. But today, just 4 more. I want to remind everybody of something very important. Money is one of the most talked about and thought about subjects in every family. Just like Thomas and Logan demonstrated, they had to go through some things and then talk and discuss it. We talk about money more than we talk about anything else, if you really think about it. You're constantly weighing and thinking about where your finances go and what to do with them, when to spend, when to give, what to do. Finances are a huge part of every aspect of life. And as a pastor this morning, I can tell you, it's very uncomfortable for me to preach messages and do this kind of teaching in people's lives because so many people are skeptical about money and giving today because you've had bad experiences. You've heard of bad things and when people have taken advantage of others and things and in church situations and things like that. So I just want to recommit and remind you this morning that when we give here, things are perfectly accountable and we feel very, very good that God is watching and we're accountable to him and to each other in this church. Amen, everybody. It's very, very important that you understand that. Finances are a huge part of life. And so we need to make sure as well, church, that finances aren't just part of your day-to-day living life. God is concerned that we also make finances a serious part of our spiritual lives. Okay? Did you know that You need to have a spiritual life pertaining to your giving. It's very, very important that we understand that. Jesus taught so much about finances because of a very specific reason. He taught so much about finances, I believe, because he knew that money could have a serious hold on your heart. And he's not interested in sharing your heart with finances. Let me say that one more time. God's not concerned with sharing your heart with finances or anything else. So we put in spiritual principles of stewardship so that when we do what he says to do, we can just walk in blessings and provision and our hearts will be free to give back to God. Earlier when we were talking about stress and praying over those things, many people stress and worry and get their heart and their minds filled with burdens pertaining to finances. But church, hear me. If you'll apply the scripture and do things the way God said to do them, you won't have to worry about finances because finances won't fill your heart. God has got you set up with principles that are designed to, if you do them, your heart belongs to him. Thank God. Aren't you glad about that? Praise God. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a parable about a man who had worked very hard and he acquired lots of stuff. We call this the parable of the rich fool, okay? But instead of sharing and giving what he had acquired, the man decided instead to tear down his small barns and build bigger barns so that he could hoard all of his treasure and begin to live life on the hog, high on the hog. He said this to himself. This is in Luke 12. He said this to himself. He said, self, you've laid up many goods for years. So now that you've got all of this stuff acquired, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's exactly what he told himself. But church, he had the wrong attitude, thank God. Let's look at God's response to the man. The man negotiated with himself, but God said this in verse number 20. You can read this on your screen. God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? God called him a fool. It's like God said, well, you've done well, but you've become useless to the kingdom of God and useless to others. Essentially, God told him that his life was really over because he had no plan to give. He had no plan to share. He had no plan to do anything but serve himself. And what should we take from that, church? We should take that this morning is that God means for all of us, everybody in here, every disciple of Jesus, God means that we have a spiritual expectation associated with our finances. Amen. He has attached some expectations. The rich fool had made it all about himself. He never once said, well, I want to further the gospel. He didn't say, I want to be part of advancing God's kingdom. He didn't even say, I want to be a part of meeting somebody's needs. No, he only said, hey, I want to bask in my blessings, but I don't want to be a blessing. That's what he said. And God looked into that situation and God said, that was foolish. And Jesus followed up in verse number 21 and here's what he said about other people. Here's what Jesus said. Look closely on your screen. He said, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We ought to just say to ourselves this morning, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Church, you don't want to spend your life becoming rich toward you, focusing only on acquiring the things that you want and never carve out a legacy of being rich toward the things of God. Because those are the things that matter most. I've said this every week this month on Sunday morning in reminding us of why Jesus said not to lay up treasures on earth. Because when we focus only on acquisition and laying up treasures on the earth, Jesus said those earthly gifts become destroyed by moths and rust and thieves because we're taking the natural and applying only natural things to them. But when we take our giving and our investment and we invest those things in heavenly gifts, Jesus said, those things will not be destroyed. Why? Because you're investing in the supernatural, not the natural. In other words, you're taking the natural thing and you're putting it in God's hands. And God will take your natural thing and do supernatural things with what you give him. Come on. Aren't you glad about it, everybody? Thank God. Just like Jesus said, earthly treasures will go away, but heavenly treasures leave a legacy of blessing that will not be destroyed. Amen, everybody. Come on. If you receive it, say, I receive it right now. Real quick, just four stewardship principles, real quick points that create a legacy of blessing. Number one, please remember these. Stewardship means to enjoy giving. Can y'all see that? Stewardship means to enjoy your giving life. Do you enjoy giving this morning? Now, that's a real personal test of whether or not you enjoy giving. I love giving. In fact, if you ever hang around me long enough, you're going to get something from me. I've got a rule in my life in place. I put this in many, many years ago. This rule is this. I'm going to give something away every day. I'm going to give it away. I don't care what it is. I remember when I was teaching high school, when I used to be, y'all know I used to be a high school teacher. And when I was teaching high school, it would blow my kids away because I always kept a big pencil box full of pencils. And they'd come up and say, hey, Mr. Morrison, can I borrow a pencil? And I'd say, no, but you can have one. Just grab you one. Amen. At the end of the day, I had to analyze and think, what have I given away today? If you hang around me long enough, you're going to realize I'm just going to give you something. It's in my pocket. I don't care what it is. I do this because I want to maintain a healthy giving life. I just got to where I enjoy giving. I love giving. I've given stuff away you wouldn't believe. With the Lord's help, thank God. And he'll enable you to do the same thing. Here, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Here's what the word says. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Thank God. Look at the spiritual principle in verse number 7. He said, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give it reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Praise God. Again, do you love giving this morning? What does that mean today? Well, here's really what it means. Verse 6 and 7 really just means this. It means decide what kind of crop you want to produce and then plant your seeds accordingly. Did y'all get it? Decide what kind of crop you want to produce and then plant your seeds accordingly. God says, you know what? It's really just up to you. It's a matter of what's going on in your heart. If you want to manage a small crop of blessing, go for it. But enjoy your giving and give cheerfully. But if you want to manage a huge crop of blessing, then go for that. Maybe you're like me. I don't mind small crops of blessing, but I prefer a huge crop of blessing. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so we give accordingly. Go for that big crop, knowing in your heart that you can just give generously and relax in that promise that God is going to cause the blessing to be yielded bigger on your behalf. Thank God. But give it generously and cheerfully. Why does he say this? See, God is so concerned with having your heart that he just leaves it up to you to sow and give according to what's going on to be a blessing to you. He said this part of your life is never supposed to be based on reluctance or based on pressure. Because then, I think it's like this, because then you'd be worried about it. And God doesn't want you worried and having your heart and your mind filled with this financial burden. No, God doesn't want you practicing this thing religiously, something to worry about in your heart. No, God wants all of your heart. He doesn't want you worried about finances. He wants to keep your heart freed up on this matter so that you can simply exercise your faith and rely on him for all that you need. Thank God. This is exactly why he put these principles in his word and then told us to follow them. Because he didn't want you living a young life, dying of stress and having heart failure and heart attacks over financial things and burdensome worries in your life. No, he said, if you'll just do this, you're going to be blessed. I receive it in my life. Thank God. Thank God. All we've got to do is this. Make sure that we do the next principle, number two. Very interesting. Stewardship means to honor God with what you have. Honor God with what you have. Thank God. That's really your only parameter. Your biggest standard just needs to be this. Honor God with what you have. Proverbs 3 and 9 says it this way. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. There's a condition in verse 10. Look what it says. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Praise God. See, God intends to make sure that we are honoring Him with our faithful giving. Thank God. So we need to look at our giving lives, and when we do, we need to ask this question. Am I honoring God with my gift? He said to give the first fruits of my increase. It reminds me of the great Bible story that Jesus told about the little old lady compared to the religious people who were really kind of going around in circles about how much to give and what God required of them. And Jesus just looked at the little lady and she gave all she had, 2 coins. Y'all remember this story? Jesus looked at the little lady who gave 2 coins, and here's how he assessed it and showed us that it's not really about the amount, it's about what's going on in your heart. He looked at her and he told those religious people, she has given more than all of you. And I guarantee you, I can see these people in my mind's eye. They went home that night, maybe feeling good about what they did and maybe feeling good or arguing within themselves or worried about whether or not they pleased God or worried about whether or not everybody around them saw them giving enough. They probably stayed up all night long stressing about their giving life. You think little lady stressed that night? No, she went to bed that night knowing in whom she loves, knowing in whom she serves, and knowing that the promises of God were, if I just do my best and give my heart to God, He's going to show up on my behalf and begin to provide for me and see after me and my family. That's what gave her the freedom to give what she had. Thank God, thank God. Praise God. Are we honoring Him with our first fruits? What does it mean? First fruits of your increase just means that I honor Him when I give my first and when I give my best. And what does that look like? One of the greatest examples I can think of honoring God with first fruits is my wife, Karen. Karen gives a first fruit by principle. That means that she's not going to let the sun go down on payday until she gives her gifts. Thank God. And she gives it sometimes before she even gets home from work. It's a principle to her life. And really, let me tell you why we put that into our lives years ago. And even before we began to give online, sometimes she gives online on payday. I might check the bank and see that it's already gone and think, she's already paid tithes and offerings. Thank God. We do that because of a very specific reason. It's because in our own lives, we struggled with this principle for a while. And I just knew that one day, if we would align the Word of God with our giving life, things wouldn't make a difference. He'd make a difference. So I used to be one to really stress over money. I came from a background of poverty and lack. And I had to learn this principle the hard way. But here's why we put it in and we still do it today. Because when we started doing this, like the Word says to do it, God changed our life. Thank God. God helped us to understand what it meant to be blessed. And it didn't always mean that we had more. But when we put in the spiritual stewardship principles, God gives us wisdom and guidance, and He lets us look more deeply into the other principles. And eventually, when you begin to do things the way God wants you to do it, blessings start pouring into your life. So we did it, and we stuck with it because we know from experience that God's word is true. And when we do what He says to do, He does what He says He'll do. Thank God. Aren't you glad about that, everybody? Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen right there. Did you notice that God attaches a spiritual promise to this first fruits principle? He said it like this. When this is your lifestyle, your barns and your vats will be filled with plenty. Praise God. I accept that promise over my life, over my family, and over you. Thank God in Jesus' name. So how do we do that? We do it by doing number three very quickly. Number three, stewardship means to prioritize the kingdom of God. Prioritize the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It just means make sure that God and the things of God are number one. Everybody say number one. Come on. Make sure it's number one. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6, verse 33. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Y'all have heard that scripture your whole life. In this particular scripture, Jesus is teaching us about how to manage the stuff that we worry about. He's saying that if we develop a lifestyle of making his kingdom first, he'll turn around into our lives the things that we might worry about, like whether or not we have this or that. And when we make his kingdom our priority, he turns around and provides all that we need. Praise God. But this is a huge roadblock for a lot of believers. It's a huge stepping stone. Because in this life, we're conditioned to get this backwards. We're taught that giving only comes after receiving. But this is one of those spiritual matters where Jesus takes it and flips it on us. Here's a good scripture to back this up, and we read this earlier in the month, but here it is again, Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Give, and then it'll be given unto you. See, the key to great provision and blessing is this, guys. Great stewardship is a simple faith step, but it hangs a lot of people up. We think that receiving is the doorway to giving, but the truth is giving is the doorway to receiving. Here's our rule of thumb, our axiom, to really hang this spiritual truth on our life and on our family and on our church. With the heart that you bless with, God determines the level of your blessing, thank God. That's why we prioritize his kingdom. And then what do? We rest and relax, knowing that God is going to take care of you, your family, your church. Praise God. Man, you can just relax knowing that he's got it. And finally today, the last stewardship principle that I'll share with you in this series, Treasure, and the last one for a legacy of blessing is this. Stewardship means to be a part of financing the mission of God. I want to read that one more time. Look closely. Stewardship means to do your part in financing the mission of God. Can you receive that this morning? And the classic scripture we always attach to this principle is right here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Where it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house. And then he said, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. He said, bring the whole tithe. In other words, the Lord doesn't expect you to have lapses in faith in this principle. And have we been there before? Come on. Have you ever navigated the giving life with yourself? And I'll tell you this, I used to do this, and it got me in trouble so many times. Look at the bank book before you make your gift offering. Don't even tempt yourself. Because many times what you'll do is you'll reason that for some reason today that the spiritual principle and truth of God doesn't apply to you. Like the man who once told me, Pastor, I've been praying. Here's what he said. He said, the Lord told me that I don't have to pay my tithes. Do you believe it? That's what he did. And I had to give him some correction. I had to tell him and let him know, well, the Lord doesn't go against his word. Praise God. Amen. No, he said, bring the whole tithe. Not just the convenient part, not just the part that's easy, But bring it. It's a first fruit. Bring it. Why? Because God intends, he said it in his word, God intends for his house to be a great source. He said he wants there to be food in his house. I'm almost done. Watch this, guys. Hear me on this. Giving is God's method for funding his mission of his kingdom. It is his method. This is a running theme throughout both the Old and New Testaments. Both. In fact, I found this example I wanted to share with you. Those early church members in the book of Acts, you can read this in the book of Acts, they understood that giving was God's method of funding the mission. And they gave, the Bible says, they gave until no one in their midst had any needs. Not a one. In fact, Acts chapter 4 and verse 34 says this. There was no one among them who lacked anything. Did y'all hear me on that, guys? Lean in just another 90 seconds. Watch it. That's an amazing church right there. They gave and understood the spiritual principles of stewardship in a way that became so applicable and real to them that their giving life caused this to be said about them. No one among them lacked anything. Praise God, praise God. How many of you guys realize that is an amazing church, and that is how I believe, and we know this, that God would have his church function back then, all throughout time, and if we do what this word says, nothing is impossible with God. I said, if we do what this word says, nothing is impossible with God. If you believe it, give him the best praise you can right now. Come on. Give him one. Give him one. Amen. Amen. Before we pray, we're going to participate in a unique love offering. But when we pray, guys, today, remember this. When you prioritize his kingdom, he prioritizes your family. Y'all believe it? Do you believe it? Come on. Do you believe it? If you believe it, stand up with me today for a prayer.